Well, I think sometimes people get really stuck. They think that the person they need to be with looks like X, does these things, maybe has this kind of career, and they're really set on this particular ideal fantasy of who this person is. They think that they're going to be able to find and then fall in love with. And they won't settle for anyone until they find exactly all these.
You're listening to The Isaac Falez Show, a podcast that inspires high performers to reach new heights and be better than their best. My name is Isaac, and I'm best known for my performance coaching, elevating elite athletes and entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. On this podcast, I sit down and share vulnerable stories on my journey, lessons that I've learned, and I bring on high performers as guests to unlock new insights and share authentic conversations about what winning really looks like. Let's dive into today's episode. And welcome back, everybody, to the Isaac Velez Show. Today, we're going to have someone on who's going to talk to us about some of the topics that are important for us as high performers, are important for entrepreneurs and founders. And that is going to be relationships. Now, we all know that relationships are a key factor, not only to our success, but also our happiness and our meaning. We look at studies like Harvard doing a study over 70 years. And the one thing they found to be most important when it came to fulfillment was relationships. So the question remains, how do we optimize our relationships? How do we find the right people at the right time? And as we're so busy with our lives and building businesses, I mean, how do we dedicate enough time to do the relationship stuff, but also focus on the business? And so today I brought on an expert to answer some of those questions, as well as have an open and honest conversation about what it looks like to date as a high performer. So without further ado, let me bring on today's expert. April, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you. So just for the people to get a bit about your backstory, can you just share a little bit of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I have always been a matchmaker, pretty much. I started the first couple I ever put together that ended up getting married was when I was 16. But I've always been a bit of a connector. So I was connecting people, like maybe just, business or friendships, and then of course, romantic connections. And then I realized about 11 years ago that this is a thing, that people actually this is an industry, and that we can help people to find that person to spend the rest of their life with. And so I met with a lot of different other matchmakers just to learn more about the different services that are being offered to people and what I liked and what I didn't like about them. And then that's how we created Luma.
I love it. So just to kind of start, kick us off here, what do you think matchmakers find that most people miss? I mean, like, you work with a matchmaker, like what are some of the things that people are most likely missing that they need to start working with a matchmaker for?
Well, I think sometimes people get really stuck. They think that the person they need to be with looks like X, does these things, maybe has this kind of career, and they're really set on this particular ideal fantasy of who this person is. They think that they're going to be able to find and then fall in love with. And they won't settle for anyone until they find exactly all these character traits or, I guess, ideals that they can see in one person, encompassed in one person. And I think it's where the matchmaker comes in and can be beneficial is that just point, really helping people to recognize, why it is that they think they want those things. Maybe they had some kind of past experience, they won't date somebody with children because their ex had children and that was a bad situation. So that means they think that now everybody else that has children is going to be a similar situation, and kind of just getting people out of their own way a lot of times, and open-minded to the kind of person that they could be in a relationship with. So I think, working with a professional, somebody that does this on a day-to-day basis, can be really helpful because, they're experts.
So obviously you're going to have a range of people. What would you say the ratio is between people that come to you and they're like, they've never been married versus the ones that, they've already been out of a marriage one time, what's that ratio like, do you think?
It's about half of our clients are divorced.
Which one's easier to work with, the never married or the already married ones?
Oh, of course it depends. But generally I would say the ones that actually have been married and that are divorced a lot of times are they can be easier. Sometimes the people that have never been married, maybe there's a reason why they're, you know, they're stuck. They're the ones that are really looking for this ideal person. And that's when we can get involved more. So, you know, dating fatigue is a real thing, you know, burnout. And I think that people will, a lot of times they'll come to a matchmaker because they've tried the apps and they've, you know, been on a lot of bad dates and they're frustrated. And, you know, they just think, well, there's maybe a matchmaker has this special person that's going to be just perfect for me. And, you know, while the matchmakers, we do have a huge database of people that, you know, are looking for a serious committed relationship. We work with people that are professionals, executives, you know, a lot of really successful, amazing individuals. But at the end of the day, that's, those things are not what's going to create a relationship. A relationship is based on a connection and a bond. And if people are just so focused on those character traits, if you will, or like that resume, they're never really actually connecting with a person. And it's really important to have an open heart and open mind, because you don't know what package that person could come in that you actually do connect with and do end up falling in love with.
So let's say someone starts working with you, you know, they're getting on board and stuff like that. Like, what are the initial steps that someone kind of takes to get optimized to, like, you know, find a match and find someone that they're compatible with and have a connection with?
Well, we have people do a personality assessment, and that way it just helps them to learn more about them, themselves, and how they show up in a relationship. And it's not so much like, oh, this personality type needs to go with this personality type. It's more so just better understanding of the world, because we have a tendency as humans to judge, and we start to think that, oh, these people are different, or they're weird because they're different. And it can be helpful to remind each other that, you know, we're all different, we all come from different experiences and backgrounds, and that's what shapes our reality, and that is what, you know, people will have a different perspective on all kinds of things. So it's just important to respect that and just understand that we may not all agree on how we see things.
So I know you mentioned one of the biggest obstacles people have when it comes to those relationships is they kind of get in their own way and they kind of block themselves from finding the right people or thinking that they have to find the one specific person. I mean, how does someone overcome those, you know, limiting beliefs, in your opinion?
I think, I mean, we can tell stories about individuals that have had the same kind of experience. And I mean, also helping people to understand that their perspective of the world is based on their past experiences. It's not always the truth. And, you know, we will fill in the gaps. Our human brains, when we see something, we fill in the gaps with all of our past experience and why we think, like, if we see somebody taking, there's a classic example of, if you see someone taking money out of a cash register, you know, what could that mean? Could it mean that they're robbing the place? Could it mean that they're the owner of the business? It could mean a lot of different things, but how you see things are going to be impacted by your whole past experiences. And so I always say, like, there's three perspectives to every date. There's like his, hers, and then the truth. And it's, you know, it's, we try to get people to recognize that and see that, okay, your person doesn't need to be within a 10-mile radius of your house. Maybe there's a great person that lives in another state, and that might be worthwhile for you to explore, especially, you know, people are so mobile these days and they can work from home and have a lot more flexibility. So it's important to open up our parameters and be open-minded as to what kind of person their person, and what kind of package their person could come in.
Yeah, of course. And so, kind of just segueing, because I'm curious too, like, you know, we talk about getting into the relationship, like, obviously matchmaking is about connecting two people, bringing two people together, you know, that are compatible and can have the connection. But even in those moments where, even if there's connection and compatibility, like, every relationship is going to have those growing pains of two people with different values kind of coming together here. And so in your experience, I mean, how would you separate relationships that are healthy and relationships that are toxic? Because both of them can have problems. But, you know, I think one of them is, by nature, has a little more problems with the toxicity.
Yeah, you touched on a really important thing, and that's values. I think that is something that we really focus on, as well as making sure that we align people with like values. Because, so my husband is a divorce attorney, And before I started the company, you know, we'd always be talking about relationships and why people would ultimately end up in his office. And I realized early on that there were some pretty obvious signs that these people should have never got married to begin with, but they went forward with it because, you know, you don't see red flags with rose-colored goggles. And so that's one thing that we can do up front is we're not going to put someone that maybe is an atheist together with someone that's a Jew, that's Jewish, because, you know, if they're going to have, if they want to have kids and, you know, they won't, it's going to be an issue down the road when you're raising kids with religion and, you know, that could create some serious problems within the relationship. So it's important to have people that have like-minded values. Or, for example, another really obvious one that ends up leading to a lot of divorces are children. You know, if somebody wants to have children and the other person doesn't, you know, they probably should not get married because that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, of course. I think about it because I know when I got together with my partner, you know, a while back, we sat there and we had a conversation for like 2 days and it was just like listing like, all right, this, 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 because it was like everything that matters. Like it doesn't matter now. But like when you build a relationship with someone over 5-10 years and then you're like, oh, wait, you never wanted kids, but I want 5 kids. And it's like those kinds of issues, you know, I think it's obviously like more of a common sense thing, but kind of that idea that common sense isn't so common. Like those confrontational and even somewhat, you know, uncomfortable conversations, I think are so necessary to most relationships. Because in my opinion, I don't think that like any person can only find one person in their life. Like I think people can find multiple people they're compatible with. And I always like to call it like the 3 C's of like, you know, of like relationships. And it's like, you have like, you know, compatibility, like 2 people that are compatible together. Like they have like similar interests. They like to do similar things, et cetera. They have similar jobs. Then you have chemistry. Like how good do 2 people operate together? Like, do they click? Do they really kind of like have a good vibe with each other? But then you have connection. And connection is much harder to get with most people. You can have chemistry with a lot of people, but the connection part to me generates that intimacy. So it's also that interesting part of like, if you have that intimacy and connection with one person, you can have it with someone else, but it's also very rare. And I think there's also those conditions, like we talked about with the values, the belief systems, and kind of the way you view the world. So I think another thing too is like, when you're matchmaking someone, how much of the work is really about finding a person they're compatible with, as much as it is kind of just shining a mirror at the person you're working with and helping them understand more about themselves, like you mentioned with the personality exam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do also put a lot of emphasis on you're not necessarily looking for your twin, right? You don't want somebody that's necessarily that's just like you, because it can be really beneficial to have your complement, right? And somebody that helps to balance you. So I think it's a mix, and it also depends on the client and what they want, you know, what's the most important things to them. Because in a way we're like an executive search firm, you know, we're working on behalf of the clients to find, you know, who would be a good fit for them. And sometimes they think they have an idea or they think they know what they want, and we might put them with that person, but they don't have the chemistry or the connection like you're talking about. And I mean, maybe they check all the boxes, but it's not, the rest of it's not there. So it's important to look at all these other things and maybe try on different sizes. Or, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. It's so basic kind of stuff where it's important to understand that people are complex, and you can't, the moment you start to make blanket statements and, you know, have these prejudices, I think then you meet somebody that just blows all of that out of the water. At least that's my experience. I've met literally thousands of people. That's what I do, is I interview people constantly. And the moment I started thinking like, oh, there's patterns, then I see people that are totally different. So I think it's made me, this occupation has definitely made me more open-minded and less judgmental, because you just see a lot of different things. And I think it's important to try to get people on that same kind of perspective. And that, at least if they want to be successful, I mean, they can keep continuing to, you know, bash their heads against the wall and doing the same thing. I always think about a fly, you know, trying to get out of a window and keeps butting up against the glass pane. You know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and try to get people to stop the insanity, if you will.
How do you think the dating market compares today, as if we compare it back maybe 5 years ago?
Well, 5 years ago, I mean, that I wouldn't say that it's changed too incredibly much compared to 5 years ago, but say 10 years ago, it's completely different. Like, apps were still kind of taboo back then. And, you know, people were meeting in chat rooms or kind of doing the chat kind of stuff. And it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. Now the apps are just the go-to method. If you want to meet someone, just order it up on an app, basically. And I think they have gotten better and I guess more, there's just a lot more different categories of different apps. So if you want somebody that's into fitness, you can get that. If you want somebody that's a professional, you can find that app. But I think what it has done though is made people less human and more about just like going through the motions and, you know, being very, really judgmental. And I think our society also has, we value basically not being as direct as we could and just like kind of be that passivity, if you will. And I think that's why ghosting has become so prevalent, in that people are just, they're not communicating as clearly or as honestly as maybe they had in the past. And I think it's just because we have this throwaway society that we think, well, we can just move on. We can find somebody else, so that we don't need to be upfront or honest with people. And we can just throw them away and we'll go back to the app and find someone else.
I think the problem with that too is that when you have people less willing to be confrontational online, like, to be confrontational online takes a lot less than it does to be in person. So like, most people generally are uncomfortable with confrontation when it's face to face. But now, since most things are digital, it's like, now the bar is even lower. So it's like, if you're not going to tell the truth or even be honest online, like, now when you're in person, I feel like it's going to be so much harder. And I think another thing that has become more of like a rising thing is the nature of the dating apps, just because they're apps and software that's meant to keep people on the platforms, is they become very transactional. Like, you don't really see that as a person. They're just another image. And you kind of like, you know, you scan the attributes. You're like, okay, this, that, and you keep moving. And so it's like, you know, like in person, like the most similar thing is speed dating. But even that, like, you're still having interactions. You have tonality. You have the body language. You have all these things that, you know, influence your ability to kind of just like put your mind from one person to the next. And I think with the dating apps, the problem is, and I think not only with dating apps, but just social media in general, is that everything has become so transactional that I think even the trend now pushing forward might become more often like authenticity. Like, people like seeing someone who's more fun than even the success, because they're so tired of seeing the same kinds of things. And so, I mean, when you're looking at the future of the dating market, especially since we're all so tapped into the devices, I mean, how do you see that play out in the next couple of years?
Well, I think what you just said was kind of interesting, like, about fun, because right now we can fake success, right? You have these people that they rent a studio to make it look like they're actually on a private jet flying, and they can get these pictures taken, or like the apps with all the filters and stuff, you know, so people don't look like their photos at all. And so it'll be interesting to see, okay, how do you fake fun, you know, or how do you fake that chemistry? And I mean, I'm sure people can somewhat. They make their life, like, in general, they make their lives look more interesting. They're traveling, maybe they're faking all of that, but I don't know if you get the personality so much. So that part of fun, that won't happen. But what I see happening with apps, it's just, I think there's going to, with AI, all these bots, there's going to be less and less of actual connections, like you're saying. And it's already happening. There's people that are, people are already dropping off and they're frustrated with it. And I mean, that's what you saw, like match groups stop, took a dive in the last, well, and all of them have all been diving and hurting because people are falling off of them. They're realizing that it's just, there's a lot of scams. There's a lot of junk. You're not really connecting. And it's more of a social media platform. It even says it in their small print that this isn't actually meant to, like, guarantee you're going to get results. And they're getting a class action lawsuit. I think Match Group is getting a class action lawsuit because they make it look like, well, like Hinge, that its tagline is like the app that's meant to be deleted or something like that. And that's not the case. They, of course, they want you to stay on it because they keep recurring revenue from you. So I think that people are going to be going back to trying to find ways to connect in person. I mean, of course, asking their friends and family to connect them with people. And I think there's been a more people going out and actually doing things again, but I don't know that we're ever going to get back to, you know, pre-COVID levels where people would actually meet in person and have networking events or, you know, a lot of more social interaction. I think it's getting there, but I don't know that it's going to be a while before we even get more. So, and I don't know that we will with the younger generations being so fixated on their technology and stuff and they're unable to communicate and have conversations. I think they're going to need more coaching and more help to build connections because they're just not doing it on their own. It's too easy to just pick up your phone and get hypnotized, if you will, by scrolling all day.
I think the problem is even bigger. Like, the problem doesn't even really get to the dating market. Like, we see it in the dating market, but it's not even rooted there, because when you have a younger generation of people who have more of an identity crisis than most previous generations, and the ones that do have identity, it's a group identity. Like, you belong to a group. Like, oh, I'm part of this group. And it's like, you can be a part of a group, but a group should never define you. A characteristic should never define you. But we see that happening a lot. So it's like, I mean, how do you expect to establish boundaries and communicate values when it's like you still really don't have clarity on that for yourself? Like, I think, regardless of, you know, the compatibility of two people, when two people know who they are at the core and they talk about making a relationship work, it's a lot easier to have the conversation because it's not a personal attack if they don't agree. They realize they're two different people. But if you don't realize that you have these set of values that you strongly believe in and you're going to uphold, it's hard to communicate to someone else because you haven't even communicated to yourself. So I think that, like, the next landscape for the young generation is also going to be like, how do we figure out who we are? How do we create the environment to, like, okay, this is who I am, this is what I believe in? Because that's what relationships also really need, is those kinds of boundaries. And you have to be independent. Like, you want to be independent and then have a wish to have someone alongside you, not a need. Because that need, again, creates those unhealthy ties with someone else that can often lead to, like, your situation, or like the way you were talking about the situations that have happened with your husband talking about the divorce attorneys. Like, that's where it goes. When you don't know who you are, like, if you know who you are, it can still go that way, but the chances are going to be so much less if both people know who they are, because then they can respect that they're two different individuals. And so I think, like, that really is going to be the game for the next couple of years, is just figuring out who people are again.
Yeah, especially with the country being more polarized left and right, and then institutions as well being more polarized left or right. Like, I just heard Harvard had an anonymous survey, and only 2% of the professors, the academic staff, admitted, even though it was anonymous, that only 2% of them admitted that they were conservative. So that tells you, diversity is not just about, you know, what somebody's ethnicity is. It's perspectives, right? And having tolerance to also be open to listening to other people's perspectives on things. And so I think you just touched on a really important point, is that they're identifying as part of a group. They're not necessarily even hearing the other side or open to hearing the other or another perspective. And so there's going to be, yeah, there's definitely some confusion about all of that, because it's very unlikely that somebody's going to go against their peer group or their community. I had heard this other study about how this woman was, she's in a really horrible neighborhood, had three kids, and they offered her a house, a new house in a nice neighborhood, and she declined it, even though, like, there were shootings and everything in her neighborhood, and she would be moving to someplace that was safer for her kids, but she was just so did not want to step away from her community and her tribe, basically, and even putting at the point of putting her kids at risk, because it is so important. It's such an important part of people's identity. So I think it's an interesting conversation for sure.
Well, I think it takes, you know, people like us and other, like, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs in the private sector really to kind of be able to stand against the grain. Like, people say what they actually believe again, because I mean, that's the whole like principle on what America is. Like, you and I don't have to see eye on things, and we shouldn't be seeing eye to eye on everything. But it's like we're both unified under, you know, the ability to think freely and do freely and make changes the way we see fit. And so it's like, if we want to go to another version of that, because you can never go back to the way things were, but you can make things better, you know, based on the patterns of what kind of history we want to replicate. And it's, you need strong people to remind the world of what the world could look like. And it's like, you're going to have such a large proportion of people complain and claim victimhood of the world's this way because of these people and the scapegoats. And we see that happen a lot. You know, we've seen it happen in the 90s. We see it happen nowadays. And the thing that we have to do now is like, okay, we take strong leaders, we take strong people, and we have them on a platform and say, speak what you think is right. Because it's not that we're always going to agree, but we understand what it means to speak our perspective. And that's another thing too, I think, and this goes back to dating as well. Everyone has their own version of the truth, and that's called a perspective. A perspective is not automatically applied as a universal truth. And so I think in dating too, it's like, especially I think like one big part, if people can get, regardless of the chemistry or compatibility or connection in relationships, is if they understand conflict management and they understand that different people have different conflict management styles. Like, for example, I don't need to be soft enough. I don't need to like have the compliments before I'm insulted. Like, I want to hear the problem because, you know, for me, it's the bottom line up front. I want to solve the problem. But my partner's not the same way. Like, my partner wants to understand that it matters to me. She wants to understand like where the vulnerability lies. And again, that's not a bad thing, but it's like, if I don't understand that about her and she doesn't understand that about me, we're going to have a hard time communicating. And again, applying it to the broader scale, it's like, if you don't understand how to like, like, if you can't be yourself with the people around you, you're with the wrong people. And it's not that you're right about everything or that you can improve, but like at the core of who we are, like, we have to be able to not be scared of admitting the things that we believe in. Like, that's something of pride, and that used to be how it was. But if we wanted to go back that way, we have to be the ones standing up for those kinds of ideals as well.
Well, I think the whole cancel culture, right? And you have to, people have to worry about that. I mean, we have to worry about our businesses. If we say something that offends someone and they can twist it around horribly. I think that Emma Stone just said something like jokingly about Taylor Swift. And of course, like, the headlines all picked up on the negative comment that she made, but if you saw the whole clip, it was obvious it was a joke. But people can twist anything. It's crazy. And I see it even just like with dating feedback. They say something that is totally benign and turn it into something negative. And I'm constantly like, what kind of mental gymnastics did you have to go through in order to come up with that perspective? But yeah, it's interesting, to say the least.
So I'm also curious to your perspective on, how many times does someone usually go through like finding a fit? Because like, obviously in dating apps, like, people are swiping, they're swiping, and they like try going on dates and stuff like that. With, you know, working with a matchmaker, for example, I mean, you know, do you have like an average or like kind of an estimate of like how many people go through before they find like a pretty good fit?
You know, everybody's different. I've had marriages come out of the first introduction, and then also the 15th. We just had a client get engaged who it was his 15th introduction. And, you know, he was a younger guy that hadn't dated a ton. And so it helped him to get those dates lined up for him and then get the coaching and everything. And, you know, had he met his now fiance on his second date, it may not have worked out. But he had a lot of great experience and feedback, coaching and everything. So that when he went into that date, he was a lot more confident and successful, therefore. But, you know, sometimes there's some people that will come in and I just know they're going to be successful because they're really loving and they're open. Like, they'll fall in love with anyone and they'll see the good in anyone. And then you have other people that are just negative and they'll pick people apart. And I call it dating for dismissal, basically. They're looking for what's wrong with people and focusing on the negative.
So what do you think are some of the biggest like actionable advices, like pieces of advice that you would give to, you know, like a business owner or founder looking to, you know, find a relationship, find someone they can spend long term with? I mean, what are some of the things that are going to help them succeed in this market?
You know, they tell business owners and entrepreneurs all the time to delegate, right? And your time is worth, figure out what your time's worth, you know, and anything that can be done for a lesser dollar point, then outsource and delegate. And so that's where we come into play, is this is a way to delegate the whole search, right? And so you don't have to sit there and spend hours swiping on apps or messaging or then going on dates only to find out that the person looks nothing like their photo and is nothing like how they present themselves. So that's what we do. Essentially, we're an extension of our clients. So we end up going on 50 first dates for our clients so they don't have to, basically. And, you know, their time is valuable. It's the most important thing, right? You can always make more money, but you can't make more time. So we need to have balance as, you know, entrepreneurs. We're going in all the time. We're super busy, and it's important to balance that, take breaks, and so you can avoid burnout. And I think family is the most important thing for me. Anyway, that's my top value, health and family. And so it's important to prioritize that. And so this person that you're going to be with, the relationship, they are essentially your family. So, you know, how does that measure up against where you're putting your efforts? You know? So I just think it's relationships cannot be undervalued. I think they're extremely important. It's really important to have that person that is your partner and can help you, you know, not... You know, sometimes I get, especially women, that they're super alpha driven, successful, and they want another person that's super alpha and driven and successful. And I don't necessarily think that's the case, because if you think about like some of the power couples, they oftentimes, it doesn't work out. If there's two people that are really successful, like Tom Brady and Giselle, it didn't work out because they have competing, you know, it's just too much competition with like where their priorities are going. And it works often with people that are more of like someone that is a driver with somebody that is more of a supportive person, like The Rock and his wife, you know, is a perfect example. You know, they balance each other out really well. So it's, again, it's not looking for your twin, it's looking for your complement. And, you know, that if someone that can really help you. And it just makes life more enjoyable. So anyway, that was a whole bunch in a nutshell. A lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to like what you're talking about, like the yin and the yang. Like, it's not like, you know, if you have a supportive person, they're not going to have ambition, but like the ambition portion of it is a lot less, right? You have like the little black dot and the white part, and then you have the little white dot and the black component of the yin and the yang sign. So I think also when it comes to like matching people, like I think we're attracted to polar opposites, but you don't want that in long term when it comes to the values. Like you want to be moving in a different direction, but you want to contribute different parts, which is why, like, you know, great companies don't have two CEOs. They have a CEO, they have a COO, they have a CTO. Like, they have people in designated roles. And just because someone, you know, is a supportive role doesn't make them any less of a person than the person running the show. But it's kind of like, again, you also don't have two people driving a car. Like, if you had two wheels on both sides, like, that car is, it's going to be very hard for the car to continue going down the road if you have two wheels or two steering wheels. So you want to have someone that's driving and someone that, you know, they're playing the music, they're navigating, they're still instructing on the right path. But again, it's kind of those different functions. And I think that, you know, nowadays we've idealized the fact of like, oh, we should have two people. Like, the power couple idea has always been kind of like a cool idea to look up to, but in practicality, it's very difficult for it to work out. And two people can still be a power couple, but usually one of them will have to compromise some part of their ambition. Because otherwise, their ambitions would just completely outshine the actual relationship that exists in the long run.
You don't have time. They just don't have time, and they can't prioritize the relationship. So I always think of a relationship as a separate entity. It's not just, you know, oh, I love this person and that's enough. It's, you have to respect and consider the relationship as its own thing. So then you are making sure that you're protecting that relationship. And whatever you do, so you're not, you know, maybe not being, not allowing people to get close to you that could tempt you to cheat. You know, it's not, maybe it's, you know, other priorities, not letting other priorities take you away from that relationship. So you're not giving it the time and energy that it needs in order to be successful.
I'm sure you get asked this question a bunch, but where do you think is the best place for people to meet someone, you know, they might like?
It's not just one place, I would say. I think it's just in the world in general. If you are, I think of one of my girlfriends who's this like super vibrant, and she's beautiful, so that helps. But she could be 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Her personality is so just loving and warm and vibrant, and like she's always concerned about how other people feel and just caring about other people and so nice to other people. So it's, you know, smiling at that person that you pass at the grocery store. It's just being considerate and just an open and happy person in the world. That is going to make you a magnet for others. So you could meet them at the gym. But if you are just, you know, down like this and you're like scowling half the time, you're not going to attract many people. So if you are, but if you're somebody that's like friendly and says hello to other people, that's going to open the door so you can meet people anywhere.
And so when it comes to, you know, some of the aspects that kind of help with, you know, building connection and building chemistry, I mean, what are some of the, like, the tips that you give to people that you work with of, like, you know, once they've met someone they find like they have a match with, I mean, how do they go about taking care of a relationship at the very beginning and kind of growing that relationship?
You know, I think about it all the time as, like, okay, if you think about the most, the people that you enjoy being around, they're adding value to your life in some shape or form, whether it's, you know, being interesting or funny, or they're just interested in you, right, and who you are. So how can you show up like that? How can you give to the person that you're in a relationship with? So, and add value to them in the, so it's, I think it's being genuinely curious and, asking questions, but also observing things and like stating it back to them so that it shows that you're actually listening and you can observe and you can, you know, pick up on things. That will make them feel like they've been heard or that you see them more. So it builds on the connection even more and people appreciate that. And, you know, because we all want to feel special and we all want to feel seen by our partner. Just doing those kinds of things, I think, they're all the key. It's not just, oh, you know, buy them eggs or do this, you know, this one thing is going to make all the difference. It's a lot of a mindset, I would say.
What are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they're, you know, trying to find the right person, in, so to speak?
When they're trying to find the right person, I think it's being fixated on this fantasy person and then swiping and saying, nope, none of these people fit my fantasy of what I think and who I think I need to be in. Because they're ultimately in a relationship with this fantasy. They're not open to meeting someone that could be a little bit different than what they think that they want. And, you know, women especially, this is challenging for, because we've been sold this idea from Hollywood that Prince Charming is out there, he's a billionaire, and he's looking for us, and he's going to completely fall in love with us, and he just needs to be able to find us, you know, and then it will all, you know, fall into place. And there's no Mr. Gray that exists, or, you know, back in Pride and Prejudice days, there's just no, that doesn't exist, and we have to be open-minded as to what kind of package that person can come, because you never know. And like I said before, the people that are the most successful are the ones that have a real open mind and open heart and look for the positive and see the good in everyone. And then the people that are not successful are just they're closed off or dating to decline or dismissal.
Got it. Well, I love it. I love the advice and the tips. And for me, I think it always goes back to that individualistic self. It's like, what are you doing to discover more about yourself? What are you doing to be open? Because I feel like you can be in the room with the people you have the most connection to, but if you don't understand yourself, if you're not open, if you're not willing to engage and learn about others and actually provide value for others, it's like, how far are you really going to go? And so my last question for you today is just going to be like, if there's one thing that someone can do, you know, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, to improve their dating life, what would it be? And then where can people find you at and see everything that you've been doing?
Of course, the one thing I think is they should hire Luma, but I mean, I think it's just making it a priority, right? Like anything, you have to make it a priority. But if somebody tells me, okay, I am making it a priority. Okay, anything in life you want to be great at, it takes work, right? So you might read books or, you know, watch videos and blogs or maybe hire a coach in order to improve yourself in that area. The same thing applies to relationships. And so often I see people just like bounce from relationship to relationship and not necessarily take that time to reflect and figure out like what was their part of the breakup, you know, why did it end up in this place, and, you know, what can they do to improve themselves? So I think it's really important for people to do that homework, you know, whether it's reading books to better understand themselves, getting a therapy session or coaching. I think it's just having that time to reflect and really understand themselves better, so they don't just, they're not just bouncing from person to person.
I love it. So where can people find you and reach out to you and see everything that you're doing?
They can go to our website at lumasearch.com. Luma stands for luxury matchmaking. So it's L-U-M-A search.com, and just fill out the profile form. Go for that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. To all the listeners out there, again, you want to be investing in yourself. You want to do what's going to protect your time. And you also want to make sure that we're taking care of the fulfillment and meaning of the actions that we're taking. And that means improving not only our business and our fitness, but it also means improving our relationships, you know, whether that's friendships and also romantic relationships, and having people that can pour into us as much as we pour into others in our business. So make sure we're taking care of that. Again, go check out everything that April's doing over there at Luma. Thank you all for your time. You know how we close it out. Fortune favors the bold. That concludes today's episode of the Isaac Velez Show. If you gained any value from today, we'd be grateful if you share the episode and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you were looking to get more involved with us, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. See you in the next episode.